He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Monday morning. Not a very good start to a new week. But don't go back to bed. It's going to be okay. Right now the Dow is down 204 points. It was down more than that just a little while ago. So, look, things have improved here. We're down 205 points. We're well above 35,000, however. That was a major barrier there for a long time, and now we're above it. We're at 35,310. Let's hope we stay there during the course of the week. The S&P is down 23 points today to 4444. Look at all those fours lining up today on this Monday, August the 16th. The Dow, or the NASDAQ, is down 131 points. That's 0.9%. It's at 14,689. Now, recently, it's been the kind of the pattern where one day the inflation stocks have a good day and the tech stocks don't. The next day, the tech stocks have a good day and the inflation. Well, nobody's having a good day today. So far, I'm having a good day. The Russell 2000 down 1.3%. It's really getting hit. The small caps down 1.3% today. Crude oil, which is a barometer for the global economy. We had some weak China numbers come out today. It's down 263 as crude oil, 65.81. Gold's up $10 per ounce. You got a little flight to safety in the bond market, driving rates down 7 basis points to 1.23. And nothing can stop Bitcoin. Okay, Bitcoin, well, it's up $51 per coin right now, back up to 46,472. And it's looking like now 50,000 could be the next level of resistance for the digital currency. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson. We are fresh off of new highs last week in the market. We had the Dow last week close well above that 35,000 level. We're still above it today. In fact, we're coming back somewhat from the big sell-off at the open. We're only down 148 now. We were down about 248. We've gained 100 points here. We're still negative. We're well above 35,000, 35,376 after a really good week in the market last week. Well, earnings season is now pretty much over, and it has been a smasher, and this earnings season did impact for the good earnings expectations going forward. Over the next couple of years, we've had a real pattern in the market recently where one day you'll see good action in the reflation stocks, which are stocks that basically benefit from government stimulus, okay? And there are plenty of stimulus going into the market right now. And generally speaking, that helps, the infrastructure stocks, the material stocks, etc. And then the next day, they would hold steady while the tech stocks did well. Well, so far today, starting a new week, I'm not seeing either side of that trade working much, but things are improving as we go. We'll see. Maybe by the time the show's over, we'll be positive on the Dow. You know, I'll tell you a big problem here. There's a couple problems. On Friday, this is the headline on Seeking Alpha. Consumer sentiment cools off in August in a stunning loss of confidence. What happened? Well, I suppose it's a combination of the resurgence of the Delta variant. I'm seeing a lot more mask being worn out there. The airline bookings are dropping quite a bit. People afraid to travel again. We do have an inflation problem. I'm going to talk a little bit more on that. I had a couple of experiences over the weekend. One was just me shopping at the grocery store, and the other, I talked to some farmers this morning who live nearby and, you know, rely on buying seed and fertilizer and whatnot, and I wanted to give you their comments on inflation. The Fed may not be seeing inflation, but everybody else certainly is, and I think that probably hit that Michigan August consumer sentiment a bit. And, you know, this is really the consumer sentiment study and numbers that people look to, the University of Michigan. There's others. There are others out there. But we saw the consumer sentiment come in at 70.2. 81.4 was the consensus. This was after the market opened on Friday. Inflation expectations right now are at about 4.6, 4.7. So people, consumers especially, not feeling really good about the economy right now. That's a stunning, stunning drop in just the matter of a month. I got to believe that it mostly ties in with the COVID variant that has been increasing and kind of got us back into the pandemic mode once again as we try to defeat this darned old pandemic. But, you know, the consumer drives the economy. And consumer sentiment is a very important forward indicator of the behavior of the consumer. Well, I was out doing just a little bit of consuming over the weekend, and the prices that stood out to me that have gone up considerably, grain, wheat, bread, you know, the whole wheat breads, man, big spike there. And any of the staples like milk, cheese, I've heard that coffee prices are soaring, and different commodities. So, you know, while the Fed may not see, the Fed may be discounting inflation. Oh, that's transitory. It's certainly not transitory at the cash register right now. Meat prices, chicken prices, fish prices, everything across the board, really. Kind of in skyrocket mode, sugar. I couldn't believe how much a pound of sugar cost. Well, I talked to a couple of farmers here in South Carolina. They live on 22 acres, and, of course, they buy seed. I mean, buy the sack load, not little garden packets of seed, and they need nitrogen. You got to have nitrogen. And they told me that the prices have just absolutely skyrocketed, not only for seed, but for nitrogen, okay? And you know that we own a few fertilizer nitrogen stocks, and they've done very well for us. But this spike in prices is a bit worrisome, okay? Because it does lead to higher prices for the consumer. Another one they said was really spiking. Feed for chicken, feed for cattle, feed for pigs and hogs, feed prices soaring. And that, of course, is going to lead to much higher prices down the road for the consumer. Well, last week we had a pretty good week in the market. We hit new highs across the board, the S&P, the Dow, the NASDAQ, the number one leading sector last week, and today it's selling off because of the slowdown in China, was materials. Materials were up 2.7%. Now, they're benefiting. They're on the right side of the street in this inflation picture, and even though they're selling off somewhat today, I think that's still a good place to have some exposure. The consumer staples did well last week. Well, you know, I see a little bit of stockpiling again. I do. Of consumer staples. The financials did well last week on rising interest rates, but they're falling again today. I think we got up to 1.37 at one point last week. Now we're back down to 1.22 as interest rates have been very unpredictable. The cyclicals did well last week. The industrials were up 1.3%. The real laggard last week, I would say, was tech. And it is again today, information technology, software, etc. But still looks good for the long term. But right now, the short term, you saw a little cooling off. That was because interest rates started going up again. That tech sector, very, very sensitive to interest rates. Okay, now the interest rates are dropping today. The tech sector is selling off because of the weakness in the Chinese numbers. But these interest rates dropping should be good news for the tech maybe throughout the rest of the week. So we're beginning the week on our back foot after fresh records in the market last week. And it seems to be the Chinese data weighing on the global stock market. This is Bill Gunderson. We got a lot to talk about today as we begin a new week. It's the best stocks now. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second quarter of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson. Materials getting hit, miners today, but that's been a pretty strong area of the market. China data disappoints. Metals and mining shares are weak today after China's industrial production rose at a considerably lower rate in July than in June, sparking worries over a slowing recovery. So we're seeing a sell-off in Freeport-McMoRan, Steel Dynamics, Rio Tinto, Cleveland Cliffs, Nucor, BHP Billiton, Vale, all the usual suspects, and the lithium stocks. SLI is down 9%. Lithium Corp of America, Albemarle, SQM, all down today, but they still look good to me as we continue to reopen. And I know we're having a setback here with this Delta variant, but I think commodity prices continue to rise. I wouldn't go hog wild in that area of the market, but I think having some exposure continues to make sense. Will the chaos in Afghanistan affect the U.S. stock market? You know, look, every morning we wake up and there's a new worry about the market. Today it seems to be the Chinese slowdown. On Friday it was the big drop in consumer sentiment. And then over the weekend and on Friday, the fall of Afghanistan, which they thought would take weeks. Instead it took days, just days, for the Taliban to take over. Does it impact the market? Probably not. Could it impact the market in the future? Well, you know, in the past, Afghanistan's been a hotbed and a hangout and a hiding place for terrorism. And those Taliban are not very nice people. So I guess therein lies the risk. The market does not like terrorist attacks. I don't see any in the near future coming from Afghanistan, but that could become a hotbed in the future. Of terrorism being sent from Afghanistan groups or groups that are hiding or hanging out in there. There's also been a resurgence of Al-Qaeda lately. So, yes, it could impact the market down the road, and I think that is weighing on the market a little bit here today also. But as far as the economy and all that, probably not a threat. The bigger threat right now, Delta variant, starting today, New York City will impose a vaccination requirement on dining, fitness clubs, and performances held indoors. So I guess you could go to a Mets or a Yankee game outdoors, but if you're headed to anything indoors, you're going to have to show that proof of vaccine. New York City becomes the first major U.S. city to implement such restrictions. Employees of those venues will also be required to be vaccinated. And following a grace period of a few weeks, enforcement will begin on September the 13th. And, of course, this policy is gaining traction with San Francisco instituting its own vaccination requirement for indoor activities that will go into effect on August 20th. Los Angeles is mulling a similar plan. Well, these are all California cities except for New York. And looking at vaccine mandates, maybe headed to a town or city near you. And, of course, the restaurant sector, I mean, it's just been hammered. We've obviously had a few good months in the restaurant sector. But, you know, these developments of vaccine mandates could spell trouble for the industry again, which was one of the hardest hit. Not only is it being hit by the COVID-19, but a labor shortage. Man, it's been rough trying to get. I see for helps, need help, wanted signs everywhere. And, I mean, it's rare that you go by a restaurant that doesn't have a hiring or help wanted sign. Very rare. So we'll see where this all leads. Mandates, you know, what does the, is about 60 to 70% of the country has been vaccinated. The other 30 to 40 have not. So it could, you know, lead to hitting your business, especially in New York and other cities that are rolling out the mandates. Japan is extending their COVID-19 lockdown through mid-September. Did you know that Japan was in a lockdown? The Japanese government is set to extend its state of emergency lockdown to the middle of September. That's a month in Tokyo, as well as adding several other regions. The current state of emergency was due to expire on August 31st, but a continuing surge in COVID-19 cases has spurred calls to extend it. Well, it's not a good day for Tesla. What is going on with Tesla? Well, a formal investigation. That's never good, okay? You wake up, you own a stock, and you read the headline, there's a formal investigation taking place. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration has begun a formal investigation of Tesla's autopilot feature. The move happens after 11 crashes since 2018 have occurred with the firm's electric vehicles using the self-driving feature. Well, Tesla is down almost 5% today on that news. And, hands-free and all this, it sounds pretty good. But, I just don't know if we're there yet. With the hands-free, neither does the National Highway Traffic and Safety Administration, which has now begun a formal investigation into Tesla's autopilot feature. And, of course, this is one of the big expected to be a driver of earnings going forward, is that subscription model where you can subscribe and upgrade your car and enable that autopilot feature. But with the investigation going on, I got to believe that that's going to set back and hurt those subscription sales of the autopilot feature. So not good news for Tesla there. Okay, well, earnings season is now pretty much in the books. And I kind of want to do a little wrap-up of the earnings season and how we ended up, what that's done to future expectations. And guess what? In another 6 weeks, Q3 will come to an end. We'll start all over again with earnings season. What are we expecting for Q3 of this year, which we're currently in? This is Bill Gunderson. We'll be right back. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second half of the Best Stocks Now show. Well, we have earnings season, which happens four times per year, pretty much in the books. 91% of the S&P 500 companies have reported their actual results. 87% of those reporting have reported a positive EPS surprise, and 87% have reported a positive revenue surprise. Well, that is well above the long-term averages. But it's even more than that. You know, yes, a high percentage of companies beat their earnings estimates and their revenue estimates, but it was the magnitude of those beats that really was stunning. When we began this quarter, we were looking for about 40% earnings growth over the same comparable quarter last year, which I want to say we made about $25 a share. That's the lowest quarter in a long time, but, you know, look, the economy was basically shut down in Q2 of 2020 because of the COVID-19 issue. And so, yes, we were expecting some pretty easy comparisons and a big beat this quarter, or a big spurt in growth. But we got a lot more than what we originally anticipated. Not only did we beat that 40% growth, it came in at 89.3%. 89.3%. I think my the headline of my newsletter a few weeks back was smashing earnings season, smashing. And it was probably the most smashing I've seen in recent memory. 89.3% will be the highest earnings growth quarter since Q4 2009, okay? That's pretty significant. That's back when this whole bull market that's now been raging, with a few stumbles along the way, obviously, but for the most part, for the last 12 years, we've had a bull market in earnings, with earnings for the S&P 500 rising every year, except for the COVID year, and the market following right along behind. The market follows earnings. You know, I like to use fishing analogies. This time of year, August, mid-August through, I would say, you know, the end of November, this is prime fishing time down here in our neck of the woods in South Carolina. The water temperature's approaching 85 to 90 degrees in the ocean, the Atlantic Ocean, and in the tidal rivers and the harbor and everything that feeds this Charleston area with salt water. And it's big shrimping time here. The shrimp have migrated up the rivers, and last week I was out just kind of walking around, and man, I saw shrimp everywhere, just everywhere. Well, okay, imagine the shrimp are earnings, all right? If the earnings are there, guess what's not far behind? If the shrimp are there, the fish are not far behind. And sure enough, here come giant schools of trout, speckled trout, to eat those delicious shrimp. Poor shrimp. Everybody likes shrimp. You know, all the predators, the crabs, the crustaceans, the fish. And then I said, you know, wherever a big school of trout comes along chasing shrimp, the dolphins can't be too far behind. And sure enough, here came a dolphin coming after everything. And it's the same way in the stock market. As long as those earnings are rising, like the shrimp coming up the river, the fish or the stocks are going to be right behind them. And then the investors are going to be right behind those stocks, buying up those stocks because earnings are going up. That's how that chain works. Now, we do have a valuation problem in the market, but as long as the Fed remains as friendly as it has been now for several years, keeping interest rates at zero and continuing to put stimulus into the economy, we can continue to support these high multiples, but they're vulnerable. There's no question about it. The forward PE of the S&P 500 on Friday hit 22.28. The five-year average is 18.1. The 10-year average is 16.2, and we're at 22.28. Now, the biggest threat, I would say, to that S&P 500 would be a contraction of the multiple more towards the mean, which is 16 to 18. We're at 22. What would it take to do that? Well, a big slowdown in the global economy. So you're seeing what that does to the market today. You hear a little slowdown in China. The multiple contracts somewhat, and the market goes down. And the other big threat to the market, there's two more. Rising interest rates. Well, today you've got dropping interest rates. Okay, you've got just the opposite of that. We're back to 1.22 on the 10-year. So those interest rates are not going the wrong way. They're going the right way today. But if all of a sudden we got a big spike in rates and we started headed back to 2% like we were earlier this year, that would also rein in that multiple currently, which is outside the norm. It's outside the norm. And, you know, things have a tendency of reverting back to the mean. But we're in a very extraordinary time right now of stimulus and low interest rates. But we have to watch things very closely. And obviously the third threat to the S&P 500 hitting, which has been hitting new highs now for the last 12 years, would be a big tax hike. And I can't see how, you know, we just passed a $1 trillion infrastructure bill, and now they're discussing a $3.5 trillion human infrastructure bill, which is mostly full of social programs. There ain't no way to pay for that except for a big, big tax hike. So that's another threat we have to the S&P 500. And as I've said many times, companies report earnings that are after taxes. And just like the tax cut that we saw during the Trump administration boosted earnings estimates, going back and putting in a tax hike on corporate earnings back to where they were or close to where they were would take a bite out of earnings, and that could cool off the earnings equation. Now, the double whammy would be a big tax hike and interest rates to start moving higher. Okay, now you've got the equation for the target price of the S&P is earnings times a multiple equals a target price. If earnings go down because of a massive tax hike, and if the multiple contracts because of rising interest rates, then you're going to get a double whammy. That's the real big threat. The biggest threat to the market is to have a double-barrel shotgun like that hit the market. It hasn't happened yet. It doesn't look like it's going to happen today or tomorrow, but it's something we have to keep our eye on in that rear view mirror. Now, the consensus target price for the S&P 500 right now, this is not my target price, this is the consensus target price out there on the street, 4,948. You say, well, what that consensus, when are we supposed to hit that number? Well, obviously not today or tomorrow. That's about a 12-month out consensus. We're at 4,444 now. The consensus target price for the S&P 500 is 49.48, and of course, that to hit that, you've got to keep the multiple where it is, which means interest rates pretty much need to stay low, and also to hit that number, you've got to have the earnings picture stay in place. and not be cut into by a massive tax hike. So those are the big what-ifs in the market right now. Okay, now, when we come back, I'm going to feature, we'll decide which one. There's a couple ways I could go here. But I've got a big large-cap dividend pair that's currently ranked number 16 overall in my database. Very unusual. That's probably the direction we'll go in when we come back. This is Bill Gunderson. It's Best Stocks Now. And welcome back here to the final segment of the Best Stocks Now. Well, it's a day with a little bit of a sell-off in the market. After hitting all highs last week in the Dow, the S&P, NASDAQ's closing in on 15,000, the S&P's closing in on 4,500. The consensus target price for the S&P is up around 5,000 now. We'll keep our eye on those earnings expectations and interest rates. Those are your two big factors. And, of course, tax, fiscal policy. Those are your three biggest factors. And the global economy, obviously, and the COVID-19 variant. Doggone it. All kinds of worries. At the same time, we've had new highs for the last 12 years. And I know, I feel that a lot of people have missed out on it because of their worries. And at the end of the day, it's all about those earnings and earnings expectations. And, you know, you can make all the predictions you want to make, and all of the bears have been wrong for the last 12 years as the market has marched higher. And we'll continue to be very, very vigilant here at our firm, watching those earnings expectations, not only on individual companies, but on the aggregate market. Okay, one stock that's really thriving right now, in fact, it is currently ranked number 12 out of 5,839. It's no small company. It's a recognizable name, $255 billion in market capitalization, and a dividend yield of 1.3%. And you might say, well, 1.3%, well, you know, you're after capital appreciation on top of that 1.3%. And it's really delivered, has Eli Lilly. Eli's coming. Branded pharmaceuticals to treat neuroscience, endocrinological, oncological, and cardiovascular diseases, Eli Lilly. $255 billion in market capitalization. Believe it or not, over the last 5 years, their earnings growth has been 19% per year, which is very, very, very good for a big, large-cap pharmaceutical stock like this. In fact, and of course, that earnings growth has led to capital appreciation along with that dividend. The over the last 12 months, the stock's up 73%, while the market's up 32%. That's the S&P 500. The over the last 10 years, Lilly has averaged 24% per year, 24% per year of capital appreciation, while the market's delivered 14.6. And over the last 3 years, Lilly's really been strong, 53% per year, while the market's been 16%. This is the beauty of the Best Stocks Now app, seeing these numbers right before my very eyes here. The stock gets a momentum grade. Now, okay, so these returns are compared to all the other companies in the database. And when you compare it and grade on the curve, it gets a momentum grade of A+. Which is the highest there is. Let's look at what the Investor's Business Daily, 93 on a scale of 1 to 99, relative strength. And So in other words, this is one of the strongest performing stocks in the entire market. The performance grade, which looks out over the longer term, 1, 3, 5, 10 years, is an A. Top of the class is Lilly, L-L-Y. Now, on the valuation front, I have a five-year target price of just over $500 per share. And the stock is currently trading at $268 per share. So now, my formula, which looks at the valuation, that's important, but also looks at the momentum and the relative strength and the performance, and those are combined. It's a very unique way of looking at stocks. Most investors are either value-oriented or momentum-oriented. Or they don't know why they're buying a stock. They buy stories. I heard a good story. I got to have some of that. Well, you know what? I've got to have valuation numbers that I can make sense of, and I've got to have momentum numbers that are quite better than the rest of the pack. And with all of that combined, my proprietary ranking system and grading system puts Lilly currently ranked number 12 out of 5,839. 6 months ago, it was ranked number 192, and 18 months ago, it was ranked number 212. It's very unusual for a large drug pharmaceutical stock. Usually, they're very slow growers, the Bristol-Myers of the world, the Glaxos of the world, the Mercks of the world. They've benefited this year. Of course, Pfizer's benefited wildly from the vaccines. And Lilly has got a pretty good pipeline of drugs that has helped propel it hit a new all-time high last week, Lilly. So we'll make LLY our featured stock of the day. Well, I sent out the newsletter on Saturday. It was a blockbuster newsletter once again. I summed up the earnings season, but more importantly, I fine-tuned the estimates for 22, 23. My target price on the S&P 500, I continue to say that the most important factor on the market is earnings. And, of course, you know, all these other factors feed into earnings. If fiscal policy has changed, it will feed into earnings. If the global economy expectations start to slow down, it will feed into the earnings expectations. So what I like about following earnings is it pretty much represents all these worries that we have. Instead of worrying about 27 things, let's just worry about a few things. Earnings and interest rates right now, to me, are the two biggest ones to keep an eye on. In the meantime, we're going to find best stocks now, whether they're come from the retail sector, the automotive sector, the technology sector, the copper mining sector. That is the name of the game of putting the best players on the field at any given point in time. Now, you can get 2 free weeks of the newsletter at GundersonCapital.com, GundersonCapital.com. And if you'd like to have a conversation with us, and have us review your current portfolio situation, you can reach us at 855-611-BEST. That's 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.